Which came first, the chicken or the egg? This is an age-old question that is a metaphor to describe situations where it just isn't clear which is the cause and which is effect when two interrelated events are considered. So how does this play out when greenhouse gases and global air temperatures are considered? Let's find out. Hi, I'm David Artley Gates, and welcome to Created to Reign, a production of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. The Cornwall Alliance is a ministry dedicated to helping fulfill the mandate God gave mankind in Genesis 1:28 to subdue and rule the earth in a way that enhances its fruitfulness, its beauty, and its safety for the glory of God and for the benefit of our neighbors. The question regarding whether the chicken or the egg came first goes back to Aristotle in the 4th century BC. He concluded that it was in an infinite sequence with no real answer. But Plutarch wrote in the 1st century AD that this question was as important as whether the world had a beginning. For Christians, the ultimate answer to this question lies in the Bible. Genesis 1:24 states, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind. To hatch, a chicken egg needs to be warmed and turned. The mother hen performs this function to perfection." Thus, with a little bit of extrapolation, God would have created the chicken first, both roosters and hens, and then the egg would have resulted. But some areas of science suggest otherwise. Evolution, through the concept of punctuated equilibrium, suggests that chickens evolved from non-chickens. To do that, a non-chicken had to lay an egg that contained the first chicken. Therefore, the egg came first. Going even farther back, a fish or an amphibian must have laid an egg that contained a shell hard enough that it could survive on land. Since this predates the first chicken by many, many years, ipso facto, the egg came first. Now, if you have wondered why I'm going into such detail regarding chickens, suffice it to say that I live in a county that produces the most poultry of any county in the United States. Chickens come with the territory. But back to the more significant question of which comes first, the rise in carbon dioxide or the rise in air temperature. Since the dawn of climate change alarmism, we have been told that carbon dioxide is the driver of climate change. It is the climate control knob. Increased carbon dioxide, and consequently air temperature increases. If we decrease the atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide and methane and nitrous oxide as well, global warming will be abated. For the climate alarmists, it's just that simple. Or is it? Many climatologists have noted that carbon dioxide is not the climate change driver that alarmists purport it to be. A recent article in the Epoch Times suggests that a fixation on carbon dioxide ignores the real drivers of air temperature, which include the sun and natural variability. But the idea that carbon dioxide is somehow the climate change control knob does not die easily. In 2007, Laurie David and Cambria Gordon published a book entitled The Down-to-Earth Guide to Global Warming. It was billed as, quote, "From the producer of Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth comes a powerful, kid-friendly, and engaging book that will get kids get interested in the environment," unquote. On page 18, a flap instructs children to, quote, "Lift to see how well carbon dioxide and temperature go together," unquote. The graph that becomes exposed shows that as time passes over the last 650,000 years, the more the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the higher the temperature climbed. The less carbon dioxide, the more the temperature fell. By connecting rising carbon dioxide to rising temperature, scientists have discovered the link between greenhouse gas pollution and global warming. The figure hidden by the flap is from an article in Science by Fisher and colleagues in 1999. The problem is that the axes are mislabeled in the down-to-earth guide. The air temperature axis is labeled carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere, while the carbon dioxide axis is labeled climate temperature. As the Science article noted, high-resolution records from Antarctic ice cores show that carbon dioxide concentrations increased 600 plus or minus 400 years after the warming of the last three deglaciations. As the authors clearly note, air temperature leads, carbon dioxide follows. After this mislabeling of axes was disclosed, Dr. Michael Oppenheimer of Princeton University weighed in on the issue. He wrote, quote, "I have reviewed the figure on page 18 of the Down-to-Earth Guide to Global Warming. It appears that the labeling of the axes has been reversed. As a result, the curve labeled carbon dioxide concentration should be labeled climate temperature and vice versa. However, the description of the figure in the accompanying text is accurate, and it fairly represents the current state of scientific knowledge in terms that would be comprehensible to children 8 years of age or older," unquote. Now remember that the description of the figure is that the more the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the higher the temperature climbed. The less carbon dioxide, the more the temperature fell. By connecting rising carbon dioxide to rising temperature, scientists have discovered the link between greenhouse gas pollution and global warming. Given the figure, this statement is patently false, and children aged 8 and older would easily be able to understand that. So, what have we learned in the intervening quarter of a decade since the article in Science by Fisher and colleagues in 1999? Subsequent research has confirmed that carbon dioxide follows and does not lead atmospheric air temperature. For example, a later article in Science included a graph that shows carbon dioxide concentrations following air temperature by a period of less than 1,000 years. Another article in Science concluded that, quote, "The carbon dioxide increase lagged Antarctic deglacial warming by 800 plus or minus 200 years, unquote. Both are very consistent with the estimates from Fisher and colleagues. A review paper in 2007 concluded that little evidence exists that greenhouse gases have accounted for even as much as half of the reconstructed glacial-interglacial temperature changes. Another paper in Science wrote that the East Antarctic ice core shows no indication that greenhouse gases have played a key role in such a coupling with air temperature. A more recent study by W. Jackson Davis in 2017 concluded that changes in atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration did not cause temperature change in the ancient climate. Also in 2017, climatologist Linda Mearns commented that, quote, "It is quite clear from the data that carbon dioxide follows temperature with highly variable time lags, depending on whether the climate is warming or cooling. And carbon dioxide in the past played a negligible role in determining temperature. It simply responded to biogeochemical processes caused by changing temperature and ice cover," unquote. It is this last comment that is important when understanding why carbon dioxide responds to changes in air temperature. During colder periods, oceans absorb more carbon dioxide due to the high solubility of carbon dioxide in cold ocean water at higher latitudes, where sinking cold seawater sequesters it in the deep ocean. When the planet warms, oceans outgas this absorbed carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere. Although plants grow faster in a warmer and more carbon dioxide-rich environment and thereby use more carbon dioxide, the ocean reservoir is about 65 times larger than that of the biosphere. But what about changes in carbon dioxide on shorter timescales? If changes in global air temperature drives changes in carbon dioxide on the century to millennial scale, Could a change in carbon dioxide on a decadal to century scale affect global air temperatures significantly? To answer this question, I would encourage you to read my chapter 8, in Cal Beisner's and my new book, Climate and Energy, The Case for Realism, by Regnery Publishing, which has been on store shelves since late March of 2024. But you can get your free copy when you make a 100% tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Cornwall Alliance during April of 2024 and request it. In that chapter, I outline that the first 280 parts per million of carbon dioxide, as well as all other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, accounts for the absorption of about 90% of the thermal infrared radiation emitted by the Earth's surface. A doubling of carbon dioxide with no increase in the other greenhouse gases could at most absorb only an additional 10% or only 1/9 of the amount currently absorbed by atmospheric gases. But through numerical simulations, a doubling of carbon dioxide will actually cause the absorption of only about 1/90th of the amount absorbed by the first 280 parts per million. That amounts to a temperature increase of less than about 1 degree Celsius. For more than a decade now, I and others have been arguing that carbon dioxide is not a magic climate control knob. Rather than being a pollutant in the planetary system, carbon dioxide is food for plants. Simply put, they grow better and faster under enhanced carbon dioxide concentrations. And thriving vegetation is good news for animal life and humans as well. We must stop the demonization of carbon dioxide and embrace its effects as the whole biosphere benefits from the additional carbon dioxide that's produced during warmer temperatures. If we don't, we might be left with more than just egg on our face. Thank you for listening to Created to Reign. Until next time, I am David Arley Gates, and may God richly bless you.